Hello there, folks. Welcome to episode 203 of Stew on This. I'm Stu Bittman. This one's called, Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? Yes, last night here in North America, we moved our clocks ahead an hour. The rest of the world doesn't do this for a few weeks. This, of course, has always been interesting to me, and probably why that old Chicago song keeps playing in my head. Does anybody really know what time it is? Does anybody really care? Well, changing the clocks points out how arbitrary the time on the clock is. And it does make it a bit more difficult for me anyway to really know what time it is for a while. And it also has me thinking about how much we really do care about time. This is interesting because on the spiritual level, or you could say on the quantum level, time doesn't even exist. Einstein said the only purpose for time is so everything doesn't happen at once. But here in the material world, the three-dimensional world, time not only exists, it's become an incredibly significant part of our lives. It often becomes the very structure for our lives. And my goodness, we talk about time all the time. We say things like we're using time, saving time, losing time, spending time, having time, even buying time, even killing time. We have time limits and time constraints. We have a good time or a bad time. We have real time and screen time and prime time and equal time and overtime. Yes, we do talk about time a lot, and we talk about it as if it was something we can, like, hold in our hands, something tangible, something countable, something absolute, and very often, something limited. But time is actually none of those things. It's certainly not absolute. Time is most definitely relative. In fact, according to something called Zal's laws, Zal's second law is how long a minute is depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. I think we can all relate to that. And so we can continue to allow time to be our focus and give our attention and power away to how much of it or how little of it there seems to be and become a victim of time. Or we can rise above time and remember that eternity is present and available right here and now. And only right here and now. In this present moment. Some might say that time is the most precious thing we have. But the most precious thing we have is this moment. We teach folks in chiropractic that we all have everything we need within us to flourish and thrive and express well-being on all levels. Well, it's equally true that everything we need exists for that right here in this present moment. The only moment that really truly exists. Love is always tapping at the door of our consciousness, and the present moment is the door. It's the crack between the worlds. Not only the worlds of past and future, but the worlds of time and space and spirit and form. Love and joy and abundance are everywhere and always now. So our job is to consciously embrace now with our attention. This present moment is the door that connects heaven and earth, if you will. And though love is always knocking on the door, you and I are often not home. So instead of letting time use us, let's look at our relationship with the present moment so we can make better use of those moments and therefore better use of this thing we call time. Instead of letting time hold us victim, let's become more of a friend to the present moment so we could show up in that moment and in every moment in our highest expression with our light burning as brightly as possible. And instead of letting time be yet another example of lack in our lives and in our minds, let's instead dive more deeply into the eternity of each moment. We can start by practicing being more grateful in more of those moments. Yes, instead of stressing over how much time, let's see how much more we can be present to the present. In a lot of chiropractic practices I know of, the amount of time spent with practice folks often becomes the measure of the worth of the care or of the chiropractor. Well, once again, it's not about how much time. It's about presence and intention and love and that which contributes to a deeper dive into that moment for both the chiropractor and for the practice folk. Years ago, in our busiest years of practice, we did a survey. We asked our practice folks how long they thought they were in the room with me getting adjusted. Well, the average turned out to be something between 8 and 9 minutes, when the actual time was between 2 and 2.5. I wasn't sure how that all worked at the time, but I see now that it was because of everything we did to help create an environment and an experience of depth in those two moments. And then on my Panama mission trips, when sometimes I was adjusting folks every 8 or 9 seconds, it was still the deepest I've ever dived. Or is it dove? It was the deepest connection I ever experienced with people. And I know that even though I was only with them for 8 seconds, every one of the folks I adjusted felt that too. Hey folks, I know how strapped for time many of you feel. It is definitely not my intention to minimize that, to negate the multitudinous plates you might be spinning right now in your life. I too definitely still get caught up in schedules and in deadlines and in the perception of not having enough time. So I suggest for all of us that when lack thoughts around time invariably pop into our heads, let's remember the words of one of my favorite spiritual teachers, Eknath Iswaran, who said, if you're concerned about not having enough time, stop wasting the time you have. And one way that many of us waste moments is by spending them worrying about not having enough time. And there are undoubtedly quite a few more ways. Hillary and I, as I've probably mentioned before, do a written couples exercise every week, which is, of course, one of the things we recommend highly in our recent book. And years ago, we did one about our last day of life. And assuming we had our physical and mental faculties, what we would like to do with our last day, what we would like to experience. It's kind of a takeoff on a Buddhist practice of thinking about your impermanence so you can discover more about how you want to live. But now I realize it's probably equally or even more valuable to consider what we wouldn't do on our last day. What wouldn't I do? Well, personally, I don't think I'd waste time in many of the ways I often do now, such as beating myself up over past choices or worrying about an imaginary future or holding things on myself or others or wishing things were different than they are or stressing about things that I have absolutely no control over or fighting or arguing because I'm attached to being right, and then putting out all the fires that resulted from my attachment to being right, etc., etc. What wouldn't you do? In fact, maybe after listening to this podcast, you want to make a list of the things you wouldn't do on your last day and start not doing them now. I have a feeling that on my last day, I will neither know nor care what time it is. And I want to start practicing that now. The time is now, and there's no better time than the present. Hey, look, I got in a couple more expressions about time right there at the end. Till next time. Stew on that. I'll see you next week.